And without any further ado, we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we talk to Cleveland.com's Browns beat reporter Mary Kay Cabot. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing awesome. And as always, as customary, we have to flip the sign over from the barbershop to the beauty salon, and we welcome you into the shop today. Talking about Cleveland, Kareem Hunt, and we've been getting into this. The situation happened last week, and can you give us an update on what you have heard and with John Dorsey? Have you heard anything about his thoughts on this? And are the Browns concerned, that Kareem may be, backsliding a little bit and being in the public spotlight with his incident?
Well, the Browns are laying low on this right now and just kind of letting it simmer down a little bit. I think that they took it at face value. They believe Kareem Hunt, that he got in a small argument with a friend, that it was nothing. There's no incident report. There's no police report. So the Browns are not going to blow this out of proportion, and they're not going to let it become something bigger right now than they think it needs to be. And, I don't know how much the NFL will look into this or pay attention to this, but I think right now the Browns are hoping that it just kind of dies down a little bit, and that if anything, it was sort of a red flag, a warning flag for Kareem to say, I have to be a little bit more careful with, what I'm doing on a Friday, Saturday night after midnight.
I think one of the things that you can look at it, I think this happened at a time where it may be a blessing in disguise for Kareem, because, we've gone through this thing with Josh Gordon before, and kind of keeping the spotlight and watching and hoping and holding our breath. Do you get the feeling, or do you get the thought process, that the Browns have a little more trust in Kareem compared to Josh Gordon's situation before?
Well, it's two different situations, because Josh Gordon's had everything to do with substance abuse, and for the most part, I don't think that that they really feel like that is the issue with Kareem Hunt. His is more management thing, and yes, the incidents do occur usually when he's out in some kind of an establishment or has been. But I don't think that this is being treated as a substance abuse situation with him. So I think you really can work with a person a little bit better on turning themselves around when they're not in that situation where you're also dealing with addiction. However, they have talked to him about this. They are taking it seriously, and I'm sure that John Dorsey, who stuck his neck out for Kareem Hunt, has had a very, stern conversation with him, saying, this is the kind of stuff that you just have to be extra careful about. I'm not saying you can never go to a bar, you can never do this or that, but he does, he's not like everybody else right now.
Talking to Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Keeping it all in the same room. We'll go to Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson has already said, he would like to be traded. Do you think this kind of incident puts a higher price tag on Duke Johnson as far as his trade request goes? And do you think this makes the Browns value Duke Johnson in keeping him around more because of maybe the speculation around Kareem Hunt?
Well, what I do know about Duke Johnson right now is that he has been posting a whole lot of Browns things on his Instagram account, mostly his Instagram account. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a good sign. Who knows? Maybe Freddie Kitchens has had a conversation with him. Maybe John Dorsey has. It just seems like, for whatever reason, he seems to be having a little bit more pro-Browns sentiment than he did at the mandatory minicamp. So, I don't know. Maybe he's looking at this, and the Browns are looking at this as an opportunity to get the value out of Duke and to kind of let him get back in good graces. And who knows where this will lead with him now.
you know, when you look at Duke Johnson and you look at some of those other guys, one of the things that has been an issue was, you know, a reported issue was the fact of the offense. How do we, you know, how are they coming along? How does the offense progressing? Your thoughts on, you know, what you saw as you finally got to see some of the pieces like, you know, Odell Beckham in the office and David Njoku. Your thoughts on the offense and Todd Monken and moving forward. And what are you looking to see as far as the progression to maybe – if the reports are, you know, even if they're a little accurate, how do you think they're going to move forward in getting the offense back on track?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it is a work in progress. When you are bringing together different philosophies, different people that don't know each other, and trying to blend and mesh all of these things. And we're not just talking about Todd Monken and Freddie Kitchens. We're also talking about James Campen bringing in his own blocking schemes and his thoughts on the running game. So you've got all these different thoughts and these minds and playbooks and philosophies being pulled together into this new offense. And so I do think that it takes time for that. And, you know, when we heard that Freddie was getting more involved, well, I do think after taking all that input from everyone, then it is time for Freddie to step up a little more and say, okay, now I'm going to I'm going to step in here and be in charge of actually how this is going to look on Sunday. And rightfully so. We've known all along that he was planning on calling the plays. So for him to, you know, have more of a say in the offensive meetings and things like that, I think that's perfectly, perfectly normal. And I think it will all come together. I mean, they have great ideas, great coaches, and great talent. It will be fine.
You know, talent is the key to the league. Talent is the key to the day, and the Browns have plenty of that. Going into the training camp, and in the next, you know, training camp starts in about 3 weeks. Who do we have as far as any injuries that guys, we know we didn't see Jarvis Landry out there for the mini camps. Are there going to be any guys who are going to be start off, do you believe in your mind, start off a little slower, maybe start training camp on a limited rotation or a limited activity due to any injuries or anything? And what are some of the guys who may have had off-season minor surgeries or something that may be looked to be limited starting with camp?
You know what? We haven't really heard about any surgeries per se. Again, as you mentioned, Jarvis didn't do hardly anything, if anything at all, in OTAs and mandatory minicamp. But we've seen that he's back working out. And I saw somebody working on his right knee, I believe it was, on Instagram the other day. So maybe that was part of the issue. I'm not really sure about that. And, you know, maybe we will hear about a minor scope or something like that when we get back to camp, when they actually, you know, feel a little bit more comfortable talking about that sort of thing. But as of right now, I don't think there's anything major. And I think that's going to be a key to the 2019 season, is the health of this football team. They stayed very healthy last year. They're going to need to do that again this year to get where they want to go.
Oh, man, talking to Mary Kay Cabot at Cleveland.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Really quickly, you know, in the first segment, we talked about it with the preseason games. For me, you know, the Browns before we were looking at guys to evaluate and see who can make the 53-man roster, to see who are going to be maybe diamonds in the rough, to see if we can win a few games during the season. Now that the team has flipped their roster, drafted well, got stars on their team, I just have this lump in my throat about preseason games and injuries. You know, what are the some of the thoughts around the league is the possibility of limiting some of the preseason games? And you think that happens anytime soon?
You know, I hope it happens sometime soon. Four is too many. I think everyone is in agreement about that. I think two would be plenty. And you're seeing plenty of teams now not even playing some of their key players or their quarterbacks at all in preseason. So, you know, it is to the point now where you have to wonder how much longer this is going to make sense. And it will be interesting to see what Freddie Kitchens does with the playing time. Now, I'm still of the mind of, you know, go a series in the first game, a couple of series with your starters in the second game, and, you know, for the most part, play them through the first two or three quarters in the third game, let that be your dress rehearsal, and then sit them down in the fourth game. But I've talked to people that don't even want Baker Mayfield out there that much in that third preseason game. So it'll be interesting to see how Freddie handles it.
And last quick question and last question, and thanks for being on with me on the 4th of July. You've seen around OTAs and you've been around the team and looked at some guys from that are left over from the roster. Who do you feel you believe has taken or is poised to take a step to have a sneaky season, a season where you think they can really step up and really become a main contributor and have a breakout year that was on the roster last year?
That's an interesting question. I mean, there are a lot of young guys that actually did so well already in their first year, and I expect them to build on that. I'm talking about guys like Denzel Ward. I mean, he was already a Pro Bowler, but I think there's a lot more to him that we haven't even seen yet. I think Nick Chubb definitely has the capability of being a Pro Bowl running back this season. I think there are some other young guys on the receiving core that we may see a little bit more from this year. You've got, almost kind of bubble guys like Damian Ratley and Derek Willis that they may be able to come in and make a little noise this year. Antonio Callaway. I think it's a year for Antonio Callaway to step up. You know, I asked him about his goals in the camp, and he said 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. So, you know, let's see if he can live up to those lofty goals.
Hey, if Antonio Callaway can get 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, I think the Cleveland Browns will be very dangerous. I will pencil them into going into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, and we'll take that with Antonio Callaway. But as always, thank you once again for taking time out of your 4th of July to come and be in a beauty salon and hang out with me today and answer some questions. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, no doubt, man. That was Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com beat reporter, and she'll be all over this Browns team. The spotlight will be on the Browns coming up here in a couple weeks. 216-578-0092 at GBush91 on Twitter.